We are all in lockdown. Yes. I don't know why I paused there. And I'm sure a lot of you with children at home need activities that are engaging and both educational, and they're needed now more than ever. So what better thing is there than to explore the tapestry of discovery that is the night sky? That's very poetic. And you can do it from your backyard. Over the next few months, there are going to be a variety of events happening overhead that can be as observed by even the most novice of backyard astronomers. You don't need to go on Amazon and order yourself a telescope. You don't need to take over the Sydney Observatory. To get us started on our cosmic journey, we are joined by friend of the show, Dr. Tanya Hill from the Melbourne Planetarium. Dr. Tanya Hill, hello.
Hi, good morning, Toby. How you doing?
I'm very well, and I'm very excited to get into some backyard astronomy. How can I and people like me start doing backyard astronomy? Do I need to spend $150 on a telescope from Amazon?
No, not necessarily. Look, it's one of the lovely things about the night sky. We can just go up and look out. You know, of course, in the city, it's a bit more, you know, we don't get to see as much, but I still think, and especially at times like this, I know Carl Sagan used to say that astronomy was a humbling and character-building experience, because you get that feeling of that vastness of space. And I mean, for me, it's awe-inspiring. I always find that when I'm out under the stars, problems never seem as big.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this has just reminded me, right before we all went into lockdown, I had some friends over for dinner and we were talking about how there was this divide in the table, because there were two of us, myself included, who, whenever you look up at the stars, you think, wow, we are so small. We're so insignificant,
right.
And how wonderfully empowering and humbling that is. And then we had two of my friends who were like, I find that terrifying. I find that, what do you mean I'm not meaningful? How dare you say that to me?
I love it. Like you say, it's that twist. It's that we're so small, and yet it's so amazing that we are here in the first place. And also that we can look up and learn so much about what's out there in space. That's what I find intriguing.
Absolutely. You just feel, it really does kind of put everything into perspective, because, you know, you could have, at the moment I've got like 400 emails unread in my inbox, and it gives me mild palpitations every time I think about it. And then I think, oh, well, you know, in the cosmic scheme of things, what are emails?
And also, and time as well. So it's not just the space, but the fact that these are the same stars that Aboriginal people have been looking at for 60,000 years, for example. You know, we have all, everybody who's ever lived on Earth had looked up and seen the same stars. And so it's just also that vastness in time as well as space.
I mean, if we're talking about doing this backyard astronomy with kids, it might be a bit for them to potentially comprehend the vastness of the world and to come away with this humbled sense of self, as much as parents listening might want that.
That's right. Let's just go out there and have a look at some planets, because there are some great planets.
There are some great planets. I love planets. They are the big name draw. What things will we be able to see over the next few weeks, and how will we be able to see them?
Yeah, so the really lovely thing, and the thing to start, and I know everyone will be able to see this, go out just after sunset. You may still even be able to see sort of where the sun is set. There might still be a bit of a glow in the sky. So if you're looking in that direction, that means you're looking towards the west, and you'll see a really bright star. Now, it has been called the evening star, but in fact, it's not a star at all. That beautiful bright object is the planet Venus, and you really can't miss it in the evening sky. And it's just going to get better for the rest of the year. It's going to slowly move away from the sun, and we'll get to see it even brighter in the evening sky.
Wow, that's fascinating to think about that. In terms of, just as a personal curiosity, the Venus that we're seeing, because you've mentioned the time component, what's the time? I don't even know how to actually put this into words. What's like the time separation? Like, at what point are we seeing Venus? Is it like 6 years in the past or something?
Right, yeah, no, so Venus is the closest planet to us, so it's probably, look, I know from Mars it's 20 minutes away, so we're seeing it as it was 20 minutes ago. Venus would be something of that order, I must admit. I can't believe I said six years.
I can't believe I was like, it's so far, and it's like, no, 20 minutes away.
Like, Venus is a nice close one to us, so yeah. But, and it's so, that's one of the reasons why it's so lovely and bright, and it's also, people might know that the Venus is kind of the hellish planet. It's the planet that's covered in this thick atmosphere. But that atmosphere means it bounces sunlight really easily. And so that's why it's highly reflective and it looks so bright in the evening sky.
Wow, fascinating. Is there anything else we're going to be able to see other than Venus getting brighter and brighter?
Once you've found Venus, turn around so that you're looking towards the east. You might have to wait a little bit, so maybe until about 7:30, and you'll see two more planets, two gas giants this time. Saturn and Jupiter are rising in the east just after sunset. If you don't see them tonight, I guarantee, go out on the 24th. The full moon is going to be just above Saturn, and then on the 26th, the moon's going to be just below Jupiter. Wow. And so I love using the moon as a signpost because we can all find the moon, and then on those nights, you'll also be able to know that you're also looking at Saturn and Jupiter.
Yeah, finding the moon feels like, might be astronomy 101, you know. It's something that I think we can all cover, you know, that, you know, sun and moon, hopefully. It's a very reassuring thing to have those lovely constants in the night sky. Now, aside from what we can observe in our own backyards, and it sounds like there's a lot going on in the next few days, which is very exciting, perfect thing to do on your night out, your daily walk or run. But what else are we seeing happening? I know that you're running online events for what's called Astro Hour. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, yes, sure. So, since we are all in lockdown, and we know that so many of us are trying to homeschool as well, what we're doing is we're running two events tomorrow on Friday as part of ScienceWorks. So if you look at the ScienceWorks website, you'll find all the details. But they're called Astro Hour, and this time we're going to be exploring space. So we're going to be looking at the past, the present, and the future of space exploration. And we'll have one session at 2 p.m., especially for those remote schooling and for families. And then later in the evening at 7 p.m., we'd love the adults to join us and we'll talk about space, and we'll have lots of time for our Q&A as well. So hopefully it'll be something to brighten up lockdown a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. And look, power to the adults who are able to put their kids to bed for 7:30. Power to them. I think that's the real skill set, is maintaining consistent sleep hours over this.
I know that in our household, all the rules have gone out the window. Rules
are for being able to leave the house. You know, now it feels like chaos reigns in this sort of time. We just need to all, survival is the key aspect. Now, in terms of talking about space, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, if you're talking about the president of space tomorrow, are you going to be talking about Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson trying to commercialize space travel on slightly phallic looking vessels?
For this session, we're actually more talking about the spacecraft.
Oh, thank goodness.
We are planning one in September that's going to be about space tourism and how all of that works as well. But of course, if you come along and want to ask your question about it, we'll be happy to lead the conversation that way. But I think, as we were saying, looking at the night sky changes you. All the astronauts that have seen Earth from space talk about that overview effect, and the fact that, let's go back to Carl Sagan, the fact that you realise that we are all in this together on this tiny pale blue dot floating through a sunbeam.
Oh, that is such a beautiful image to end this little chat on, Tanya. Thank you so much for bringing a touch of poetry and humility to the Thursday Daily. It's very rare that we deal in either of those things here, but we appreciate you classing up the joint with backyard astronomy.
You're welcome, Toby. Love to chat to you soon.
Take care. That was Dr. Tanya Hill on Backyard Astronomy. Man, like, it really is humbling. But I totally understand that some people find it a bit terrifying to think, oh, we are just all tiny on this rock, and how weirdly fortuitous it is to think that, oh, that water was here and life developed in such a way that means I'm standing in a room full of technological gizmos being able to talk to all of you in your homes, vehicles, wherever. It is fascinating and bizarre, and yeah, it makes you really put things in perspective. I'm definitely going to be going out to have a look at Venus, and I hope you do too.